Thank you. Brother Cheryl, again to the officers and officials of this conference and of the conventions, and all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I give thanks to God for the blessing which you have been to me in the fellowship of this conference. I have appreciated and have been blessed by the messages which I have heard, the singing with such fervor that has taken place here. And I rejoice in the sweetness that the Lord has placed in the throat of Brother Blanton. May God bless you all. Thank you so much. I've been impressed with a lot of things here at the conference. And one of the things that has struck me is that I've seen a lot of Bibles around here. So I've been led to conclude that biblical literacy is pretty high. That's good. I hope it's a safe assumption. Pastor decided one day that he would go into Sunday school and test the knowledge of the students who were there. So he went into a class of teenagers, early teenagers. He said, "I want to ask you something." He said, "Who was responsible for knocking the walls of Jericho down? Johnny, do you know?" Johnny said, "Don't look at me. I didn't do it." And the pastor was appalled, so he decided to speak to the class teacher about it and said, "I just asked who knocked the walls of Jericho down, who was responsible for it, and Johnny said to me, 'Don't look at me. He didn't do it.'" And the teacher said, "Well, Pastor, I know Johnny. I know his family. And his family is a family of integrity, and if Johnny said he didn't do it, he didn't do it." By that time, the pastor was very disturbed because he found no knowledge of the Bible with his students, and his teacher seemingly didn't know any better. So he called a meeting with the deacons and said to them, "Brethren, I'm very disturbed about what's being taught in our Sunday school, because I went to a Sunday school class this past Sunday and I asked about the walls of Jericho, and Johnny said he didn't do it, and the teacher backed him up. And I'm very concerned about that." And the deacon said, "Well, Brother Pastor, don't worry about it. Said, we'll just get it fixed up and charge it to miscellaneous funds." I've seen a lot of Bibles here at this conference. And I'm impressed by that because I know that you are biblically literate. The Bible knowledge is high. I want to talk about an experience which is biblical through and through, but for which a text in the strictest sense might be difficult to find. I want to offer one found in Ephesians 4, verse 29. I think that verse does breathe the content of the message. And it says this: "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The other day, I made a visit to an elderly lady in our church who had suffered a stroke some time ago. And I had been late in going to see her, much later than I should have been. But finally, I went to see her. And when I walked in, she looked at me and grunted. She said, you finally came. She said, I've been praying to the Lord that my pastor would come to see me, and you are here. And I just thank the Lord. And then she proceeded to tell me why she had not been to church lately. She said that when I suffered that stroke some time ago, it left me in a position where crowds bothered me, and my speech would leave me. I lost the use of my hand. I've been here with my children since then. So I couldn't go out because crowds bothered me. But I wanted to talk. And when I discovered that my voice wouldn't hold up long, I decided that what little talk I had left in me, I wasn't going to talk even to my children. But what little talk I had left in me, I was going to use to talk to the Lord. When she said that, I said to her, "Thank you, Sister Smalley. And I hope you will let me repeat what you have just said time and time again, because to me you have said something quite rich. What little talk I had left in me," she said, "I was not going to use to talk to my children, but I was going to use to talk to God." I had never thought of talk as a stored up commodity, what little talk I had left in me. She made me ask the question, what in the world is talk? She speaks as if she's got some of it saved away or stacked up somewhere. What is talk? And when I thought about it, then I began to understand the urgency of the passage that was just read in from Ephesians. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. For it began to dawn on me that talk is not just sound. It's not just words, even though words themselves are important. But talk really is articulate life substance. Think of how we talk. We speak by making use of the breath that is in us. And the record says that this is what made us come alive. When God formed man in the garden of the dust of the earth, he was not alive until God breathed into him the breath of life. And when God breathed into him, then he became a living soul. Whatever that spirit quality is, it's tied up with the wind, the breath that is in us. There's a connection in the biblical language of spirit, wind, breath. It is life substance that is disciplined so that it makes sense. In order for me to talk, I have to discipline the flow of my life's breath by the use of my teeth and my tongues and my lips in order to make intelligible sound. Talk then is more than sound. It is disciplined expenditure of my life's energy. As such then, words are not just words, but words become sacred because they are made out of sacred material, life's breath. And as such, words themselves become very important, for the record says that this is how God has chosen to communicate to us. He makes meaning to us, and he communicates his caring for us by means of words. The word made flesh, ultimately. But he talks to us. And thank God that he does, that he talks to us. That means that preaching, then, is not to be despised. For it's more than just getting up, letting a flow of words proceed from one's mouth. There's something sacred involved in what's taking place. That's a part of the mystery and the glory of preaching, that something sacred is involved here. Disciplined life's energy is being used here. Talk, then, is how we make meaning to others out of the vitality which makes us alive. What's inside of me makes sense to you by how I discipline the flow of the life substance that God has placed within myself. Now I hear Sister Smalley again, and what I hear her say takes on new meaning to me. She said that since I didn't have but a little talk left in me, I had to make up my mind what I was going to do with it. She said, I decided that I was not going to use it to talk to my children, but instead I was going to use it to talk to God. What are we going to do with the talk that's left in us? Here, both the Bible and the testimony of Sister Smalley admonish us that we have to make a choice from among the subjects and objects of our love in the expenditure of our life's breath and energy. I wouldn't use it to talk to my children. Nothing wrong with talking to the children, because these were persons that she loved, and I knew the family. It was a tightly knit family. They cared very much for each other. They were the prize of her heart and of her spirit. But now in the crisis of her living, she said, I decided I was not going to talk even to my children. She had been to death's door for them. But she would not use the breath that was in her to talk to her children. If we're going to make wise use of the life substance that is within us, it means that we've got to make choices, and sometimes choices mean saying no before we say yes. We have to reject some things before we can affirm some things. Some alternatives have to be wiped out and put behind us before we can say a definitive yes to God. Perhaps that's one of the reasons of the weakness of much of our testimony. We try to carry too much along with us. We have to say no to some things before we can wisely say yes. Sister Smalley said, I decided I was not going to talk to my children. And I love them, but I had to decide whom did I love most and what was of utmost value to me in this moment of my living. And when I had to choose values, I knew that if I wanted anybody to hear me at all, I would rather have God listen to me. I would rather reach his ears than anybody else's ears. I decided that I would talk to God. When we're talking from our pulpits and from our classes or where have you, whose ears really are we trying to please? Whom are we trying most to reach, and whom are we seeking most to satisfy? Who matters most in our lives? I hear the master saying, whoever loves even father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who would spend his life wisely and well for God has got to love God more than anything and anybody else. And the reality of God has got to become so living in our beings and in our consciousness that God is as close to us as anybody else. Sister Smalley said, I was not going to talk to my children. They are right here in the house with me, but God is as real as my children are to me. I decided I was going to talk with God. God must be as real as, and yea, more real than anything and anybody else. The talk left in me, there are some things I'm not going to do with it. I was not going to talk to my children. Her testimony said to me that I need to be careful lest I waste that which is precious. What little talk I had left in me. Didn't have a whole lot, just a little. And that little is so precious. Oh, how cheaply do we take words? We somehow think that all we got to do is just stand up and it rolls out. But have you ever thought about how little talk there is left in you? You've got just so much capacity for breath in your body. God has been so kind to us that he keeps on renewing it all the time. But that's out there. The talk that's left in us is just a little bit. And if you don't believe it, just talk a while without stopping to renew yourself, and you soon run out. You don't have but a little breath left in you. How precious then is this life substance that God has given to us, and how careful ought we to be with it then? We don't have that much of it left. It has to be renewed all the time. Thank God that he renews his blessings to us minute by minute and second by second. But because I have to renew it all the time, I have to recognize how precarious it is. I can't just assume that it's there. I've got just a little left in me. And I've got to deal with it so carefully. Can't waste it then. Can't throw it away. And I can't use it unwisely. I can't use it in corrupt communications. I can't use it in manners that are unbecoming to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What little talk that is left in me. I've got to learn to use it wisely. We've got to learn then what is of real worth in our ministries. What really matters most. And when we decide that, then we've got to cherish those things that matter most and then use them and protect them and see that they take priority in our lives and in the expenditure of our energies. No wonder the record then talks about the word of God and says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. What little talk I have left in me. I'm not going to throw away. It's too precious to waste. Too precious to spend in idle chatter. Too precious to just spend saying nothing. I've got to think about what I want to do, and I want to ask God to direct well what's going to happen in me and through me, because I don't have a whole reservoir left behind. Every sermon I preach then, I ought to preach it as if it's the last little bit of life substance left in me. Every opportunity I get to testify, I ought to see it as just the last opportunity that I might have to speak to somebody. And so I'm not going to throw it away. What little talk I have left in me. I've got to be concerned about how I'm going to use it. Sister Smalley said, I love my children and I want to communicate with them. But since I don't have but a little talk left in me, I decided I wasn't going to use it to talk to them. But instead, I was going to use it to talk to God. Here again, then, is an admonition to us that our talking or the spending of our life's substance ought be done where it's going to do the most good. I'm not going to talk to my children, not now, but I'm going to talk to God. Paul put it like this when he wrote to the Ephesians. He said, don't let corrupt communications come out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the edifying, to the strengthening of the believers, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If there's no grace in what we're doing, then we ought to watch what we say. I'm not going to waste it because I don't have but a little left. And since I don't have but a little left, I've got to relate it to the goal that I want to gain. What do I really want to do now with the life substance that's left in me? I've got to tie up where I want to get with how I'm going to spend my energies. Goals, the good, is supposed to determine what we do with the resources that we have. Desired ends ought to regulate our conduct. People ought to be able to try to find out and to discover where we want to go by how we expend our energies and our efforts. I wonder sometimes if people look at us, do they really determine what's of value in our lives by the way we spend them? Can they really tell what is of uppermost importance to us? Sister Smalley said, I want life. And since I want life, I've got to spend my life substance here, the resources that I have, where it's going to do me the most good. Ends ought to regulate our conversation. Do you want to help people? Then you got to go where people are who need help. Do you want to reach the saved? Then you got to go reach the unsaved. Then you got to go where they are. How many times is the extent of our testimony end in the sanctuary of believers? Oh, we do some great speeches of encouragement one to the other, but those who are lost never hear us. I hear Jesus saying that those who are well don't need the physician. I came looking for folk who are sick so that I can give them the healing balm of the power of God. Ends ought to determine how we spend our energies. Are we going to express gratitude? Then we ought to show gratitude to those folk who have been kind. Say thank you to those folk who have been helpful. If you're really grateful, then let the folk know it who have been of help to you. If God has been kind to you, then let the gratitude of your heart be expressed to God. If he has used others as avenues of his blessings, then make it known unto them as well. What little talk you have left, make sure that you spend it where it's going to do the most good. You want to strengthen the weak? Then deal with them as if you want to help them. Talk with them, not about them. If you want to lift them up, then give them your hand to pull them up, not push them down. The energy that you have is supposed to be guided by the goal of your life. So Sister Smalley said, what little talk I had left in me, I decided I wasn't going to use to talk to my children, but I was going to use it to talk to God. You see, what she was teaching me in that instance was that since the goal that she desired was life and health, she was going to talk to him who could give it. No use talking to her children about health because they couldn't give it to her. Life was from God. And so if she wanted life, then she would go to the source of life. Her conversation now, her talk, had to be life-producing conversation. May I suggest to those of us who are bearers of the good news that we ought to remember that always, that our conversation ought to be life-producing conversation. And any conversation that is not life-producing needs to be examined again with care. What are you about when you meet in your assemblies? What are you about when you gather in your committee meetings? Are you producing life or are you just spinning wheels? If you're not producing life, then you ought to examine again what it's all about. Jesus said, I have come that men might have life and that they might have it abundantly, so that all of my energy expended towards then ought be towards the making of fullness of life for individuals. And if I'm not making for fullness of life, then what I am doing is unworthy of me. So Sister Smalley said, I decided that I was going to talk to God. Well, she was talking about praying. And so she did. She talked to God because that was what was best in her situation. But you and I haven't been stricken by strokes. We still have the vitality of our bodies. We still have the activity of our limbs. What then is the most effective use of the life substance that is within us? Sister Smalley said, I'm going to talk to God, and that's good, and we ought to spend some time talking to God. But may I suggest further then that maybe one of the priorities of our lives after we have talked to God is to also talk for God. For he says, you shall be my witnesses. I want you to talk now about what is real in your life that I have made real for you. Talk for God. And the Master would make us believe that where vital life issues are consecrated to the glory of God, then something miraculous can take place. Sister Smalley continued that conversation then, and this is how she concluded it. She said, and so I worried the Lord. And look, this hand I can use now. And listen, I'm talking now. I listened to her, and that struck deep in my heart. So I worried the Lord. Do we really worry God? Not really. God's not bothered when we talk to him. That is, when we're really talking to him about life. God's not bothered when we are pleading to him for life. As a matter of fact, he said to us, you come on and talk to me whenever you want to. Talk to me whenever you will. Come on, the door is open to you. Pray whenever you want. Matter of fact, you can pray all the time. Keep on talking to me. You don't worry the Lord when you pray to him. She didn't mean really that God was bothered by what she was saying, but what she was really saying was that I kept on praying to God until he heard me. I didn't pray one prayer and then walk away as if that was all right. I made the Lord know I was serious about what I was talking about. I wonder if the Lord listened to the expressions of our hearts, if he really knows we are serious. You know, sometimes we can go through the motions, but we're not really serious. Sometimes we can say the right thing, but we don't really mean it. I've been places sometimes and I've knocked on some doors and I sure did hope there'd nobody answer. And so I knocked lightly and I waited for just a few seconds and then I walked away. I had been there, I had done my duty, but I didn't really wait for anybody to come. Sister Smalley said, I didn't knock on the door and then run away, but I stayed there and I just knocked and I knocked. I worried the Lord. I kept on knocking there until somebody inside heard me. Well, this is what Jesus said, did he not? He said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Not going to break in. I'm not going to break the door down. But he said, I'm not going to walk away just because you don't open up right to me right away. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and I keep on knocking. And whenever you open the door, I'll come in and sup with you and let you have fellowship with me. Sister Smalley said, I worried the Lord. I prayed to him, and I kept on praying to him. And then after I had prayed to him for so long, something happened to me. She raised her hand and said, look, I've got life in it now. listen to me, I can talk now. Well, that's not unusual. That always takes place. I dare any man to worry the Lord. But when you talk to him, you discover that he listens to you. Listen, any man who's down and out, talk to the Lord, and the Lord will hear you. I hear my parents and those before them giving words to that in song, and they said, I prayed, and I prayed. I prayed all night long. I prayed and I prayed until I found the Lord. I moaned and I moaned, yes, I moaned all night long, not just for a little while. I moaned and I moaned until I found the Lord. My soul just wouldn't be contented. My soul just wouldn't be contented. My soul just wouldn't be contented until I found the Lord. Sister Smalley said, so I worried the Lord. And when I kept on praying to him, he heard me, and he gave answer to my cry. Well, that's the testimony of people down through the ages. You cry to the Lord for life. You ask him to give life to those who are lost. Intercede for them before the Master and really be sincere about it, and then talk for him. Not only talk to him, but then talk for him. And I tell you, God will hear you. Those who pray to him, he answers, and those who talk for him, he blesses, for he will let souls find him if you'll become an avenue of his grace. And then when men talk for him, he also watches over them. You don't have to worry when you are really witnessing for him. You don't have to become concerned that you're out there by yourself and dangers are too much for you as a servant of the Lord. Talk for him and he'll stay by your side. He watches over them who labor for him. He cares for those who have committed themselves unto him. Though all others prove false, the Master stays with you all the way. Look for him and he's right there. In life, he's always by your side. Loneliness is yours, not so. Look around, he's right there. Darkness settled over you, look around, he's there, a light in the midst of the darkness. Sorrow settling on your heart, look for him. He'll give you joy in the midst of your sorrows. God does not forsake those who labor and testify for him. He is with us in life. And then at the end of life, he's standing right there. For God is not just the God of our 70 years, but God is also the God of our ending days. I like the way my folk put it. They put it in a prayer and they said, Lord, when I come to the end of my journey, when I get down to the River Jordan, if Jordan is raging, you've been with me all of my life. When I get down to the River of Jordan, don't leave me there, but bid, old Jordan, be calm and let me cross over in a calm time. God will be with you in a dying hour as well. He gives life to those who cry unto him. Sister Smalley was right. I worried the Lord. And look, I've got limbs now that can move. Look, I've got life. This is the challenge of the evangelistic conference. Let's worry the Lord, if you will, about those who need life. Keep their case before the Father and use your little talk that's left in you to present their case and then to press the claims of God. And lo, you will discover that God gives life and health and wholeness when men cry out unto him. Only then let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but let it be for the good, that it might be a conveyor of divine grace. You and I traffic in words. Don't play them cheaply. What little talk you have left in you, let it be for the glory of God.